repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I will be what it says I will be. Today I will be taught in Jesus' name. The Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. Pastor Andre, feed me this word. All right, let's bow our heads really quick. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you are. God, speak through my mouth, think through my mind. Let it be all of you, less of me, God. No hindrance, no interruptions by any satanic or demonic forces. They are stopped, they are blocked, and the revelation knowledge will flow freely. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we get into the word, just while I was praying, the Lord just dropped in my spirit to say this openly. We appreciate our own brother Melvin. We appreciate you for all you've done down through the years in and out of the community. We appreciate that. All right, so we are in our leadership series, and we're just going to go. We're not going to do a lot of review. Many of you have been with us, and if you haven't, just catch the CDs. Number one was leader slips. Somebody say leader slips. We've been taking the word leadership, and I've been making my own words, and so leader slips was number one. Number two was leader pimps. I know some of y'all don't want to say that in church, so I didn't ask y'all to say it, but some of y'all said it. And if you don't know what that was about, you would have to get the CD to understand. Leader pimps was the next one. And last week was leader shifts. We talked leader shifts. And so today what we're going to talk about is leader lifts. Somebody say leader lifts. So we had leader slips, leader pimps, leader shifts, and now leader lifts. The first thing I want to do is I've got extra time today, and so I want to take my time, but I still want to get us out a little earlier. So I just want to kind of flow, because I really enjoy teaching this. I enjoy preaching, but it's something about this leadership I've really been enjoying teaching, because I think our next phase, the next place God has taken us, I really believe that you guys are going to have so much more impact. Right now, I still do a lot in the ministry, and I still sometimes am the face of the ministry, and so is my father and the Mitchells, and that's okay, because we've labored to have that type. But I want to grow to the place where people know it couldn't just be one family. It couldn't just be one person to do what you're doing. I believe our next season is a season where we all can be celebrated, not just as people occupying seats in the pews, but people that are seen as leaders. I just pointed out Brother Marvin. I just pointed out Brother Melvin. But I believe there's going to come a time where people are going to be looking at you and pointing you out and looking to you as a leader. There are going to be people coming to you, pouring their heart out to you, and you won't even know why. In the grocery store, they're going to want your advice, because people are going to see you as a leader. The Bible says we are the light of the world. And as the world gets darker, we get lighter and brighter, and that makes us leaders in this day and age. And one thing there is a shortage of, there's a shortage of leaders. And so in leader lift, and so in each time I made up a word, the last word is a word we focus on. So we're going to focus on lifts. Let me give you a definition of lift. Lift defined is this. Number one, raise to a higher position or level. Number two, pick up and move to a different position. If you think about that, this is my job as the pastor. This is my job as the leader, to raise you to a higher position or level. My goal is to raise the level of your thinking. If there's anything I'm passionate about how I make you think or how I help you think. When I took over and I was praying about what kind of ministry I want to have, I wrote this in my journal. I said, I want to have a state-of-the-art ministry in the hood. In other words, I want people to be in the hood and step in this building and say, this looks like a suburb church. It don't look like a hood church. I don't want us to be ghetto, because this is what I believe. I believe is that if you would beautify the church, the physical building, we are the church. And so if I would make the physical building state-of-the-art, I want you to be state-of-the-art. I want you to be at your highest possible level. I want to maximize your potential. I want to raise the level of your thinking. I want to take you higher and take you further. I want to expand your dreams. I want to fix your family. I want to help your finances. I want to help your health. Yes, it's a grand goal, but if I can lift you one iota, I've done my job. If I can make you think on a higher level tomorrow than you did yesterday, I'm doing my job. As a leader, I want to lift. Now, anytime you lift something, sometimes it's hard to lift. And especially, they say this. They say that those people that, what do you call them? The people, lifeguards. Yeah, lifeguards. When they are trying to save somebody from drowning, they say the hardest thing they have is people fight them when they're trying to save them. The people don't know. They're just fighting for their life, but they end up fighting their health. And sometimes when I'm trying to lift folk, they fight what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to lift you. I don't want you to think like you used to think. I know you live in the ghetto, but you ain't got to act like the ghetto. You got to have a different mentality. So my whole goal, my approach, how I dress, how the building looks, is strategic to lift you to a higher level. But not just lift you to a higher level. Sometimes I want to pick you up and move you to a different position. I want to take you from point A to point B. I want you to go from this to that. If you're a whoremonger, I'm not going to dog you out. But I want to lift you from whoremonging to loving one woman. I want to lift you from one place to the other. If you've never tithed, I don't beat you up. I try to be nice about it. But I know if you don't understand the message of giving, it's going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt me. So I want to pick you up and put you in another position. So it's my job to lift you. It's my job to lift you. It's my job to lift you. And here's the thing. When you understand the power of lift, you understand that power of lifting transcends things. Give you an example. If I pick this up and drop it down, you know it's going to fall because that's the law of gravity. But the reason why an airplane can stay in the air, because there's also the law of aerodynamics, the law of thrust, and the law of lift. And when you have all those laws working together, they can override gravity. And my father calls it this way. He sometimes says the gravitational pull. And he's talking about how life has a way of pulling you to its lowest level. But if you have enough overarching laws that can lift you, no matter what's pulling you down, you can keep getting up. You can keep rising up. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. Well, you don't have a degree. Well, you don't have money. Well, your mama wasn't around. Your mama left you and you were adopted. But I still believe I can fly. I know I got stuff trying to pull me down, but there's something in me trying to lift me up. I believe I will rise. I believe I will fly. I believe I will grow. I believe I will expand. I know I got trouble, but my trouble won't last always. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is going to come in the morning. I want to be lifted. Somebody say, lift me, God. Lift me, God. Lord, lift us up where we belong. The songwriter said, love, lift us up where we belong. BB and CeCe said, Lord, lift us up where we belong. But since we're a church of love, we understand that if we can love people and love God, that will lift us up where we belong. Where do I belong? I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. I'm not what mama said about me. I'm not what government said about me. I'm what God said about me. The love of God will lift me. And as a leader, it's my job to lift you. My job to stretch you. My job to push you. My job to encourage you. I can't come up here and be the saddest person in the house of God. Yes, I have trouble. Yes, I have problems. But when I stand up here and I take this mic, it's my job to encourage somebody. It's my job to lift somebody. It's my job to push somebody. I don't want to have a sad story. It's funny, as I preach, I say a lot of stuff my dad used to say, and I understand it. Now I'm in this position. I don't have a sad story. Yeah, I can give you a sad story, but a sad story is not going to lift you. Have you ever talked to somebody and you was happy to see them, but by the time they got done talking, you were so sad and depressed? How you doing, sister? Well, my back hurt, my neck hurt, my naps on my head hurt. My goodness, you done wore me out just listening to you.
I want somebody that will lift me. I want somebody that will encourage me. I want somebody that will make me feel like everything's going to be all right. Lift me, God. Lift me, God. Look at your neighbor and say, lift me, God. Lift me, God. So we need leader lifts. There's so much in this world that can pull us down. Look at the news, it'll pull you down. Look at the Star Press, it'll pull you down. Look at your bank account, it'll pull you down. Look at folk lying on you, it'll pull you down. Look at Facebook, it'll pull you down. But you got to make up in your mind, I will be lifted. I will go higher. I will advance. I will be strong. God is for me. And if God be for me, all right. So that's enough setting it up. Let's go to this point here. I got a point for you. If the leader is tasked with doing the lifting, then how does the leader get lifted? Here's the problem about being in leadership is everybody wants you to be on top all the time. And so we try to be on top all the time, but if I'm lifting you up, then when I get done lifting you up, who's going to lift me up? When have you ever noticed that sometimes the mechanic's car is messed up? The hairdresser's hair is messed up because when you help everybody else, sometimes you don't have time for yourself. And I got to show you that it's not easy to do what we do. Preaching ain't just about taking the mic and being in a suit and having folks look at you. Preaching costs you your life. You cannot be anointed without it costing you something. And here's the thing that I don't understand. I have to talk to God about it. I've read books on anointing, and that wasn't what anointed me the most. I've had preachers pray over me, and that's not what anointed me the most. I stood down, and Bishop Jakes put his hand on my head. Everybody else was falling out. When he put his hand on my head, I didn't fall out. I'm like, I want what everybody else is getting. God, why I got to get something different? Because what God has told me, I get anointed the most through my own pain. Thank God for the books. Thank God for the folk praying over me. That done something to me. But every time I've advanced in life, I had to go through hell and high water. Every time I got anointed, I had tears in my eyes. Now, I'm not one of those people that cry, so you never would have known I was crying, but my heart was breaking. My face was smiling, but my heart was breaking. My face was smiling, but my heart was breaking. My hand was up high, but my heart was broken. Because who lifts the leader? Who lifts the leader? Who does the leader turn to? People ask me all the time, Pastor Andre, everybody talks to you. Who do you talk to? I counted it up just two Mondays ago. Now, most people in here know I don't try to take calls on Monday, don't try to do any church stuff on Monday. But there's other people that know me and want to get connected with me, and they don't know my Monday rule. And so I counted it up. By the time I clocked in at work to the time I clocked out, nine people had contacted me and wanted either prayer or advice. Nine people in 8 hours. And the day ain't even started. That's from 10:30 to 6:30. Thank God I had Monday off, because people want somebody. If you lift people, they'll keep coming for you to lift them. If you help them, they want you to help them again. I'm thinking, didn't I help you out of this the last time? Well, why don't you take the last advice I said? How about you take my advice and record it and play it over next week when you get in the same situation so you don't have to call me back again? But why do I do it? Because that's my job. As a leader, you're called, because what the scripture talks about is when the Samaritan, it said the church folk walked by the Samaritan, but the other guy picked him up. And so it's not my job as a leader to walk by people. It's my job to keep lifting. But if I do that, who lifts the leader? And so the reason why I'm saying that is because all of you are moving into leadership roles. And the higher you get up, your circle gets smaller. The higher you go, the smaller your circle will become. People love you as long as you're on their level. But when you outgrow people and you outstretch people, you find out your circle gets small and you don't always know who to turn to. Who do I tell in the church when me and my wife are having trouble? Because if me and my wife get it fixed, somebody could be starting a rumor about Lady Devon. So can I trust somebody in the church to talk about when I'm having trouble? So a lot of times pastors don't tell when they have marital trouble because they don't know who can I trust. Should I tell the single lady in the church? Probably not. Because she's single and she loved the Lord. But if she find out you and your wife having some trouble, she might not be so saved all of a sudden. You got to be careful who you tell your problems to. You can't trust everybody. Everybody that looks saved, you can't trust. So the higher you go up, the smaller your circle comes, because you don't know who has a knife in their hand. Everybody smiling in your face, sometimes they want to stab you in your back, so you don't always know. Sometimes as a leader, it's paranoia. Can I trust her? If I say this, if I feel prompted to, I see somebody, let me use Mother Rankin as an example. I see Mother Rankin, this is what sometimes will happen to me. I see Mother Rankin, and in my mind, I see she don't feel beautiful. So next time I get a chance, I'm going to tell her that she's beautiful. So she wears a beautiful blue dress. And so I forget to tell her in the church, so I text her that your dress was beautiful. You look beautiful in that blue dress. If Sister Rankin is not good and saved, she'll screenshot it and tell other folk, look what the pastor said about me. Take it out of context and make it sound like what I didn't mean it to sound like. Who does the leader turn to? Who can the leader trust? Because the devil will get in people. The devil will make people mess you up. And guess what? This is what I understand. I know all of y'all love me, but if Jesus had a Judas, I bet I got some too. If Jesus had some betrayers, I love all y'all. Maybe the betrayers and the Judases didn't come to church today, but there's some Judases somewhere, and I always got to look around and find out, where's the betrayer? Where's the Judas? Where's the backstabber? Where's the person that'll smile and talk about, I love your message, and turn around and tell somebody else, he the worst preacher I've ever met in my life? Where are the people that you can't trust? So who does the leader turn to? Here's the answer. We're gonna do a case study. Case study with David. We're going to use David as an example. We're going to go to three Psalms. So we're going to go to three important lifts from the Psalms that every leader needs looking at David. So who does the leader turn to? So we're going to look at three lifts, because before the leader can lift somebody else, the leader needs to get lifted himself.
Yeah, right.
Now, when I talk about a leader being paranoid, that leader can't stay that way, because you can't lead people if you're afraid of everybody. So at some point, you got to figure out who to turn to, how to turn to, and we're going to see what David did. Let's look at lift number one, the number one lift for the leader. Somebody say lift number one. Psalms 121, would you read that?
I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help.
Verse 2.
My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth.
Number one, David said, here's the thing. This is the reason why I can be an effective leader, because I'm not really looking at the people. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help doesn't come from my EBT card. My help doesn't come from General Motors. My help doesn't come from Stacy Adams and Cadillacs and Steaks. My help doesn't even come from Joyce and Royce. My help doesn't come from Devin. My help comes from the Lord. And the first lift a leader has to have is, if I don't have anybody, I've got God. I got to have God in my life. I got to have God on my team. I've got to have God in every way, shape, form, or fashion. I can't lead anybody if I don't know my help comes from God. Now, if I'm going to take Diane to Chicago and Diane is following me, and I have a GPS, I can't, every time the GPS says turn right, I can't say, no, we're going to go left. Because it's okay if I do that by myself, because I get lost by myself. But Diane is following me. So I got to follow what the instruction is. If you are following me, guess what? I don't have a choice to do my own thing. I got to listen to God, because how can you follow me if I don't hear from God? My number one lift is, where is my help? My help is in God. I've had several favorite scriptures over my life, but since I've become a pastor, my number one favorite scripture has been Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Pastor, I like the series that you preach. When I get done with this series, I'm asking God, what are we talking about next? Because I don't know. because I'm not really the boss. He's the boss. He tells me what to do. And guess what God has done to me? Sometimes he don't tell me till 8:30 in the morning and service starts at 11. And I'm wondering what I'm going to preach. I'm wondering what I'm going to say. And in 20 minutes, he gives me a whole message. And y'all talking about that was awesome. And I'm saying, God, thank you for bailing me out again. If it wasn't for the help of God, if it wasn't for the life of God, if it wasn't for the anointing of God, if it wasn't for the grace of God, if it wasn't for the power of God, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't even tie my shoes. I couldn't even brush my teeth. It is God all day long. My help comes from the Lord. It's not Democrats. It's not Republicans. It's not anything. It's not crack cocaine. It's not Hennessy. It is God Almighty. And I've made up in my mind, if I don't have a church, it's okay. I still got to have my God. I still got to have my Jesus. If you tell me I can't preach anymore, I may be sorry because I love doing what I'm doing, but just don't take away my God. David said, whatever you do, don't take your spirit away from me. I got to have God. And if you're going to be a leader, you got to know where your strength and your help comes from.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
Any good plumber, when you tell them my faucet is messing up, they don't want to just go to the faucet. They want to go to the source. Because the faucet is just connected to the source. And no matter what the faucet does, if the source isn't flowing, I don't care what the faucet does, you're not going to get anything. You don't believe me? Don't pay your water bill. Too much. And just turn on your faucet and see what happened. Nothing. Because if it's not connected to the source, it can't produce anything. And if I'm not connected to the source, I can't produce a thing. I can't do anything for you. I can't lift anybody if I first don't lift up and get connected to God. And I'm saying the same thing to you. Get connected to God. Talk to him. Do you know how easy it is to talk to God? Do you know they say, you know how many thoughts they say we think in just a couple minutes? We're thinking thoughts all the time. Turn those thoughts into prayers.
Yeah.
Instead of thinking, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to pay for the gas. I don't know how I'm going to buy this. Instead of thinking that way, say, God, I thank you for taking care of the gas. I thank you for taking care of the bills. Yes, I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know when you're going to do it. And sometimes, God, you wait too long to do it. But I thank you for everything that you've done, God. Whatever you do, find a way to talk to God. Talk to him however you can talk to him. Pray however you can pray. Pray washing the dishes. Pray mowing the grass. Pray driving down the road. Pray without ceasing, because your help comes from the Lord. And I wish we had a church that would knew that it's all about God. It's not about the preacher. It's not about the church. It's about your God, because you are the church. And if the church hasn't been talking to God, when the church comes to church, we can't hear from God. So talk to God when you away. Talk to God in your bedroom. Talk to God in the shower. Talk to God on the baseball field. Talk to God while you're watching TV. And then when you come to the house of God, the Spirit of God can move, because we know our help comes from God. All right. That's lift number one. Somebody say lift number two.
Lift number two.
Let's go to Psalms 3:1. Don't read it yet. I want to give us a little context. So something happened to David. I want to go back to the whole idea of the betrayer. David had his son Absalom with him. And what Absalom's doing, there's a lot of stories about it. David's life is very interesting, all the ups and downs that he went through. But his son Absalom, there was something interesting that was going on. His son was telling the people, his son was kind of handling the financial things of the kingdom at the time. And what his son would do, he would go to Jeff and say, Jeff, the king wants you to pay $1,000 for taxes. Now, I think you should pay $400. I don't know why he charges you so much. But here, I'm going to collect $1,000. But if I was to ever get into the kingship, you wouldn't have to pay $1,000. You'd have to pay $400. So Jeff was like, you know what? Absalom, you're all right. So every time Absalom collected the money, he dogged out his leader, because he was trying to take his place. Be careful of the people that will dog out your leader. And then all you got to do is ask them one question. Well, how about us go talk to the leader, me, you, and him? How about we sit down and have lunch and get it straightened out? Well, I don't think that's going to be necessary, because people don't really want to straighten stuff out. People always are trying to usurp authority. So Absalom did it, and at one point then he promoted himself to king. And so all them people that thought they was going to get the better taxes, they all went with Absalom. And they got ready to attack the kingdom, and David was on the run. On the run from his own son. And not only that, his son came to take the women, take his wives too. I mean, David was going through some trouble. So David was going, and this psalm comes up. Let's read Psalms 3:1.
Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me.
Man, the trouble I have is increasing me. It's a whole bunch of people that are rising up against me. In the next verse.
Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah.
Think about the people that would tell others that your life is over. Marvin ain't no good. It'll never work for him. Royce ain't no good. Devin ain't no good. You be careful about people that'll write your story before your story is over. I may have made some mistakes, and I may be in a bad place right now, but you don't have the authority to write my story. You're not the author and the finisher of my life. If I get a chance to breathe again, I might live again. I might bounce back. Don't close the door on me. Don't close the book on me. Don't tell me my life is over. Don't tell me I'm done. Don't tell me I've lost, because you don't have the final say-so. It's not over till the fat lady sings, and every time she gets ready to sing, she gets choked up, because God is not through with me. God's not done with me. I know it looks bad right now, but God's not done with me. I know Absalom betrayed me, but God's not done with me. I know it's troublesome, but God's not done with me. And this verse was set to song. So David was in trouble, but singing to the Lord. He was in trouble, but saying, folk are coming after me, God, but you're my man. Hallelujah. Folk are saying it's over, God, but I still love you, God. Hallelujah. I got fired and I don't know what I'm going to do, but God, I thank you for the time I did have the job. My wife walked out, and I don't know how I'm going to be a father to the kids. I don't know how I can go and be around the kids and see them with another man. But God, you can still turn it around. You can give me somebody new. God, I'm not going to give up on you. You got to learn how to praise God, not just from a hymnal and not just by some gospel song, but you got to have your own personal song before the Lord. God, help your servant. God, turn it around for me. God, don't let it be over. God, give me another chance. I like the way Samson said, God, if you give me one more chance to be strong just another time. It looked like Samson's life was over, but God gave him strength one more time. Somebody need to tell God, do it for me one more time. Give me one more chance. Hallelujah. Read the next verse. Now here's the lift.
But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head.
No matter what has bowed my head down, my first lift is knowing he's my help. But in my second lift, I can't even lift up myself. But God is the lifter of my head. There have been times that my head was down, and I've been wondering, how am I going to make it out? And somewhere between the time of thinking about it, my head just gets up, and I feel like it's going to be okay. I don't know how it's going to be okay. I don't know when it's going to be okay, but I'm tired of crying. I'm tired of worrying. I'm going to get up and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, because you are my glory and the lifter of my head. Look at your neighbor and say, pick your head up, pick your head up, pick your head up. And when I tell you to pick your head up, I'm saying you don't have to do it by yourself. God will pick your head up. And people who talked about you and people who lied on you will have to come back and tell you that you are anointed. They'll have to come back and ask you for prayer. All I need you to do is keep living. If you keep living, God will pick your head back up and put you in a place that people wouldn't understand. I believe the devil looks at you and gets flabbergasted. How did they make it out of that? How did they get out of that? How did they bounce back from that? I'll tell you how I did it. You are a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. See, what I'm really like a palm tree. What a palm tree will do when the storm comes, a palm tree will bend. But when the storm is over, it'll bounce back up. I may bend, but I wasn't built to break. I may lay over, but I got to bounce back in my spirit. Because the God that I serve, he let it come to me, but he didn't let it destroy me. He'll pick up my head. He'll give me another chance. He'll give me another dream. He'll do it over again. You are my glory, and you're the lifter of my head.
Hallelujah.
All right. Somebody say lift number three.
Lift number three.
Proverbs 24:6. This is another one from David.
This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah.
I'm going to stop there. I'm parking in the middle of the chapter. Psalms 23 is a very famous psalms. This is the very next psalm. Now, the psalms are not always in chronological order the way it happened in David's life. But sometimes when you look at some of these psalms, especially in those 20s, you'll see a lot of David. And so David began to talk and said that one thing about it, I got some stuff going on in my life, but I realized something, that this is the generation of them that seek him. Let me tell you something as a leader. What I'm learning is that even though this world is crazy, there's still some folks seeking God. Amen. Even though this world is mixed up, there's still some folks seeking God. And guess what? I know there's some folks seeking God, because you wouldn't walk through the doors if you wasn't seeking God. You wouldn't come here and play church if you didn't want, if you wanted to play church. You would go somewhere else, because you know we're not a place that plays church. We're not just going to shout and be happy. We're going to do what God tells us to do. So you wouldn't come here. So basically what God is telling David, I done put some people in your life that's not afraid to seek God. In other words, Pastor Andre, there's some people in the pews that don't mind seeking God. The reason why I can lift my head up, because I know I'm not by myself. I'm pastoring some people that are ready to get hold of God. I'm pastoring some prayer warriors. I'm pastoring some intercessors. I'm pastoring some people that are seeking God in the morning. I'm pastoring some people that don't wait till Sunday morning to get a praise through. I'm in the generation of those that seek God. Now, as God begins to come back for his church, he says he's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. So it means this generation, it means us, we're the generation that's going to seek God like never before. Thank God for Azusa. Thank God for Martin Luther and the Reformation. But you haven't seen what's going to happen in the next years of the children of God that are seeking God for no other reason than I want God for myself. And when you understand you're around other people that seek God, a generation of seekers, a generation of praisers, this is the next lift that you'll have. Read the next verse.
Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in.
Oh, this is why I love to sing, my hallelujah belongs to you. Because when I lift my hands, I'm lifting my head. And when you lift your hands, you're lifting your head. And when we lift up our head, the King of glory shall come in. You can like Donald Trump, you can like any other king, but there's no king like the King of Kings. And when we lift up our head, the King of glory comes in. What we're doing when we're lifting up our head, we're rolling out the red carpet for the king. But actually, it's the purple carpet, because he's a royal king. And he comes down to hear the praises of his people. He inhabits the praises of his people. So lift up your head. I don't care what's going on in your life. Lift up your head and watch God come in. He may not come today. He may not come tomorrow. He may not come when you want him. But I guarantee you, he'll be right on time. God's going to come through. God's going to see about you. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory might come in.
Shall come in.
Well, if you know enough scriptures, he might come.
Shall come in.
If you've never committed any sins, he might come.
Shall.
No, he says, just lift up your head. I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming. Let me be like Bishop Jace. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. The King of glory is coming. All right, read the next verse.
Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle.
It's Yahweh. I'm not mad about Buddha, Hari, Krishna. I'm not mad about anybody else's religion. I'm not mad about the atheist. But let me tell you who I know. I know Yahweh. I know Jehovah. I know the Messiah. I know Jesus Christ. I know the Lord of Lords. I know the Shepherd of the Sheep. I know the King of Kings. I know Mary's baby. I know the lily in the valley. I know the bright and morning star. I know the one that 3 days later he got up out of the ground with all power in his hand. Who is the King of glory? He's the Lord strong and mighty. He's the Lord mighty in battle. He's the one that's never lost a case. He's never lost a patient. He's always on the job. He is the King. He asked Peter,
and the disciples, who do men say that I am? I don't care what CNN says that he is. I don't even care what the church down the road say that he is. What I care about is who I say he is. I say he's the Lord strong and mighty. I say he's the Lord mighty in battle. So I lift up my hands because my hope is in my God. It's not in the Dow Jones. It's not in the stock market. It's not in Mayor Tyler. It's not in the school system. It's not in Devin. My hope is in the Lord. All right. Read the next verse. Was that it? Oh, go back to 24:8 just for a second. Who is this King of Glory? This, I always like to point this out. In this thing, he says he's the Lord strong and mighty, but he's the Lord mighty in what? So how would you know he was mighty in battle if he never allowed you to get in a battle? We want him to keep us from every battle and keep us from every fight. But how would you know that he could fight for you if he never lets you get in a fight? How would you know that he can overcome the battle if he never allows you to get in the battle? Marvin White said this way, what would I know about being restored if I never lost my place? And what would I know about his mercy if I never got out of grace? So sometimes he lets stuff happen so he can show you who he is. Why don't you just pray this prayer next time? And when you pray, and I'm saying you pray, but you tell the devil, the only reason why I'm in this is for God to show who he is. So you can talk to my mind if you want to. You can tell me the reason why I'm in this is because I'm not as saved as the pastor. But the truth of the matter, the only reason why I got in this, yeah, I made some mistakes, but the only reason why I'm where I am is so that God can show me who he is. So devil, even though you caused it, you get no glory, because what you meant for bad, God will make it for good. So guess what? I'm going to praise God anyhow. I'm like Joseph. I may end up in the pit. I may end up in Potiphar's house. I may go to prison, but my last stop will be the palace. So you can't stop nothing in this thing. The devil, you have no glory. God gets the glory. He's mighty. He's strong in battle. And guess what, Brother Donald? He's strong in battle. But sometimes I say, God, let me get a lick in. I know you can whoop him by yourself, but he done too many things. Let me get a few shots in. Let me kick him while you hold him, because I know you got the victory, but I'm going to stomp on his head in the meantime. He going to nip at my heel, but I'm going to crush his head. Amen. All right, let's go on further. If the leader is tasked with doing the lifting, then how does the leader get lifted? So we talked about it. From the perspective of David, the leader, you get lifted by basically, like David said, encourage yourself. Be your own cheerleader. Yay, yay, win, win. Talk to yourself. Get pom-poms if you have to. Flip it. Stand on the bed if you have to. Do whatever you got to do to encourage yourself. So if you're the leader, you got to find a way to get hooked up with God and encourage yourself. And I can promise you, it's not that I've never dealt with depression, but I can't afford to stay in it. So whatever I'm going through, I fight through it. I may get quiet for a while. I may have to talk to somebody, but I'll find a way, because I can't lead you if I'm not encouraged myself. Not that I won't ever have a bad day, but I can't afford to be blind, because if the blind lead the blind, we all going to fall into this. So if don't nobody get a hold of God, I got to get a hold of God. If the person driving the bus mess up, if I fall asleep, I don't care how much y'all love me, we all in a whole bunch of trouble. So the job of the leader is to do that. But let's turn the corner. If the leader is tasked with doing the lifting, then how does the leader get lifted? Let's do another case study. Because in the leadership series, we've done two sides. We study both the leader and the follower. So this case study is with Moses and the Israelites. I want to tell us another story, because I want to tell you how you can lift a leader. First, I wanted to show you that you are a leader, and so you encourage yourself. I'm a leader. I encourage myself. But let's talk about you as the follower and me as a leader. How can you help me when I never tell you my problems? If I always have a smile on my face, how can you help me? So let's look at what happened in Moses and the Israelites' time. Let's read the first verse. It's going to be Exodus 17 and 10.
So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill.
So there was a fight and a battle going on, and Joshua was leading the fight. Joshua was the premier follower. He was the premier follower, and he was leading the fight. And so this is the one important lift from the followers that every leader and ministry will lead. Joshua was on the battlefield, but Moses wasn't on the battlefield. Joshua was on the battlefield, but Moses wasn't on the battlefield. There's some battles you're fighting that I'm not facing. Because of the place where God has elevated me, there's some stuff I'm not fighting. If you're 3 years in your marriage and I'm 17 years in mine, you're fighting some stuff that I'm not fighting. As you, when you stick around long enough, you ain't got time to argue, fuss, and fight. You're just happy to have a peaceful, quiet day. But when you're new in marriage, you want to fight and fuss and throw everything. And let me tell you something. If you're 25 years in and you're still fighting and fussing and throwing everything, y'all need to reevaluate your relationship. At some point, you ought to lay down and just chill out and relax. Everything shouldn't be a battle. So there's some stuff I'm not fighting, but that didn't mean that the people in the pews are fighting it. There's some I talk about addictions as if I'm in the addiction now because I'm speaking for the people. But there's some stuff going on in my life that's not really that big of a deal. There's some stuff going on in my life that I've really overcome, but I talk from another place. In other words, I talk for the sake of you. I'm transparent for you. But to be honest, God has lifted me out of a lot of stuff, but it's my job to keep lifting you. So Joshua was in the battle, and Moses was up on the mountain. Let's read the next verse.
And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed.
Even though Moses wasn't in the battle, even though Joshua was doing the fighting and the people were doing the fighting, as long as Moses had his hands lifted up, the people would win. But when Moses' hand would drop down, the people would lose. Hand always represents power. If you're fighting for everything you've got, and I begin to allow my power with God to slip, not my personal power, but my power with God, it affects the entire ministry. You don't know how important it is to be me and to be him. What we do and how we think and how we act can have ramifications for everybody, even though we're not in the same battles. And so Moses, as long as his hands was up, they would win. Let me put both my hands up.
Hallelujah.
People was winning, but when his hands would begin to drop, the people would lose. Now, if any of you have ever lifted up your hands for a while, you notice in a few minutes it gets uncomfortable. I was just doing a light, hanging a light the other day, and my surgically repaired shoulder didn't feel so surgically repaired after 5 minutes of having my hands up in the air because it's an awkward position. And it hurts the leader to keep his hands up all the time. Even though we're not fighting, it hurts you to fight, but it hurts us to keep our hands up. And so the problem was when the hands were up, they won. But when the hands dropped, they lost. Next verse.
But Moses' hands were heavy.
I did it like that because that's not the full part of the verse, but I want to lift that part up because the weight of leadership gets heavy. It gets burdensome. Because here's the thing, even when I'm winning and you're losing, I feel like I've lost. If my marriage is working and you're in divorce court, it hurts me even though I'm okay because God didn't just call me to be okay. He called us to be okay.
Yes.
If I'm driving good and your car gets repossessed, even if you did something stupid, it still hurts me because it's heavy to see everybody go strong. Let me say it to you this way. As parents, you can have 4 kids doing right but 1 child messing up. And it just don't feel right.
That's right.
Because you want everybody. You birthed all of those babies. If one of them is struggling, it hurts you because it's not about just having a few folk happy. It's about all of us getting blessed.
Yes.
And so it's heavy. We can have, let me put it to you a better way. The way Jesus said. Jesus said, what shepherd who had 100 sheep wouldn't go after that one lost one
Yes.
and leave the 99? If I just have one saint that's slipping back and bad sliding, it's heavy.
Yes.
Because I want us all. There's no reason why any of us should be backsliding. But some of us get in the thick in the throes of life and we get hit and it hurts us. And when one of y'all drop, it hurts the leader.
Yeah.
Sometimes the follower, it don't bother you. I got mine. I got my car and I got my blessing. But the leader can't think like that. The leader says, I want us all to get blessed. And so Moses' hands, they got heavy. The weight of leadership, the weight of wanting things more for people than they want for themselves. The weight of trying to push people in places they don't want to go. What it does, it weighs on you. Pastor, you and your father, sometimes you're frowning. We're trying to be happy, but this is a heavy task. And it's not just the people in the pews, it's the city. How can I be happy when the school system is messed up? How can I be happy when at one point Delaware County was number 2 in the nation in methamphetamines, number 2 in the nation? How can I preach and be happy every Sunday when my city is going through hell? But not just my city, my nation. When we're still racist in my nation, how can I be happy? How can I see young black men unarmed, even if they're wrong? I don't want to see them gunned down with police justice. How can I be happy with all this weight? How can I be happy when there's no peace in the streets? How can I be happy when women are being assaulted? How can I be happy when people are being beat up? How can I be happy when priests are molesting little kids? How can I be happy? It's a weight. It's a heavy weight. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, they gave his only begotten son. Noah was doing right, Noah and his family, but he loved the world. And so it gets heavy. Because for everything you fix, there's 7 things that break loose. You if you've ever dealt with like your pipes freezing and they bust, I had that happen to me. And you try to fix one leak and it springs another leak. You try to close that and it springs another leak. That's what pastor is like. When I fix this, this happens. So it gets heavy. Let's look at the next verse.
And they took a stone and put it under him and he sat thereon.
Oh, they got smart. They took a stone and said, at least you can do, you can sit down, Moses. I know you got to get your hands up, but at least you don't have to stand. He was standing. And think about the issue that Moses was going through. I'm not nowhere near the battle, but the battle still depends on me. I'm not even in the fight, but the fight still depends on me. So he's standing. And they said, well, at least you can sit down. So they put a stone so he can lift. Oh, this is a little bit better. But in 10 more minutes, it's going to be heavy again. Read the next verse.
So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword.
No, we missed something. Maybe I missed it. Yeah, no, read within the same verse, sorry.
And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun.
Ah, the followers, they thought of an idea. If my leader has to have his hands up for us to win, then we can't let him have his hands up by himself. So Aaron, Jeff, you're going to be Aaron. And Donald, you're going to be Hurt. I need y'all to come. I'm sitting on the stone, and I'm trying to lift my hands up, but my hands done got low. And now that my hands are low, the people are losing. But, oh, my God. Oh, It's not so heavy because I got people helping me. I got people lifting me. Now we all are going to advance because somebody decided we're going to share the load. Aaron and Hur said, Moses, you're not in this thing by yourself. Go ahead, guys. And it says his hands were steady till the going down of the sun. So this is what this means, is you become the Aaron and you become the her. And when I never tell you what's going on in my life, you spiritually know he needs his hands lifted. Don't worry about this. I'm going to take care of this. Don't worry about this, Pastor. I'm going to do this. Don't worry about this. I'm going to take care of it because I want your hands lifted up. And guess what? The reason why they want the hands lifted up is selfish too, because I can't win if your hands are down. So I want to lift up your hands, because when I lift up your hands, I bless my own life. So whatever I can do to lift the load, I'm going to do it, because I'm doing it not just for you, but for us. A broken down leader is the leader's fault and the people's fault. But when people say we're in this together, the last thing I want is a broken down leader. I'm going to lift him up. Well, I don't know how to do anything spiritual for the pastor. Well, the pastor likes Sour Patch Kids. You ain't got to make it that spiritual. Just give me some Sour Patch Kids that'll give me 10 more minutes to be happy for another 10 minutes. And for 10 minutes, you done lifted my hands. Well, I don't know what to do for the pastor. Treat my wife well, because whoever treats my wife well makes me happy. So when you're good to her, you're good to me, and that lifts my hands.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what to do. Well, come to church, because when you come to church, I get to see your face, and I'm happy to see your face because I don't have to preach to empty pews. So when you come to church, it lifts my hands.
Hallelujah.
Well, I'm gone on vacation, but how can I help you? Well, you can get on the app, and you can pay your tithes by the app, because when you give while you're gone, you let me know that where your treasure is, your heart is. So you let me know that your heart is with me even though your body's not with me, and you lift my hands. There's all kinds of ways you can lift my hands. And whatever you've got to do to lift my hands, guess what? You're not just helping me. You're helping yourself. Because when my hands are up, the people will be blessed.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Verse 17, 13 says what?
So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword.
Joshua won as long as the leader was lifted and propped up. Now, in this connotation, whenever time people preach about it, what we don't think about, you know, it hurt Aaron and Hur to hold his hands up. Just because you're helping don't mean that the help is going to be easy. Sometimes you offer the help and it's going to be hard. Let me tell you one of the ways I ended up actually in a leadership role. My father, gave me the pastorship, and he also told me when I was going to preach my first message. But before that, I came up from school and I just wanted to help with the youth. And so it was four of us helping. And so I just started helping with the youth. Three of them left. And I got stuck, left. And next thing you know, I become the youth pastor. That's not what I signed up for. I signed up just to help. But sometimes when you help, it hurts to help. It's easier to stay on the sideline and criticize it, but getting in there to help hurts. It hurt Aaron and her to help, but I would rather be hurting and see us all make it than for me to be at ease and we all fail. So when you step up to volunteer, it may be seven of y'all to volunteer, but in 6 months, you might be the only one left. But don't give up. Stay in it. Don't talk about all of them and dog them out and be mad at them and have an attitude with everybody. Just know that God tricked you into leadership just like he did me. When God wants you, he'll find all kinds of ways to get you. He'll do whatever he got to do. But then I went from that, helping with the youth to youth pastor, from youth pastor to kind of helping my dad when I could. Now I'm the senior pastor. God, I didn't want this. God tricked me in it, but now I love what I do. So I'm letting you know, when you help, it hurts. Let me give you just a good example. When anytime somebody says, can you help me move? We only got a few things we got to move. We got everything boxed up. That's a lie. It don't ever be like that. You be there all day trying to help. It costs to help. But when you help the right person, it makes everybody win. All right, move on.
Then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven.
He said, God told Moses, make sure they write this down. Make sure they understand this principle and pass it on to Joshua. See, Joshua was going next. And so what Moses wants Joshua to know that you can't do this by yourself. You're going to need somebody to lift your hands. It may be a spiritual lifting, but mark this down. Write this down. Make a mental note of this. You're going to need to be lifted. Now, let me talk to you guys as leaders. When you become leaders, always find the right team around you, somebody that can lift your hands up. You can't stab me in the back and be lifting my hands up at the same time. So watch who you got around you. When you get ready to go into your business, be careful who you take with you. You need somebody that can lift you up. God said, write this down. Make a mental note of this, is that when the leader is lifted, it makes everybody go well. That's why God tells us to pray for those in authority everywhere. And when you have fools in office, what happens is if we keep praying, God will overturn the fool or even change the fool, because he won't let you waste your prayers on somebody when you're trying to lift their hands up and they fighting you. So pray for, even when you don't like them, pray for them. Even when you are tired of me, pray for me, because God will either change you or he'll change me. But either way, he won't let the whole ship go down over one person. I don't know what America's going to do now that Donald Trump is in office. We're going to do what we always been done. One monkey can't stop a show. They can make it hard, but they can't stop a show. It's time for the church. Here's the thing. We've been looking to the politicians to fix all our problems, when the church has the answer. And God is trying to show us, stop believing in politicians and believe in the Almighty God and the church of Jesus Christ. And I loved Obama, but he wasn't all right. He did some stuff that wasn't good, too. All of the people that get in office, it's a spirit in those places. Even when they tried to do good, it's a bunch of dirty deals, a bunch of backhanded deals. America is the land of the free. It's really the land of the greed. If you got enough money, you can pay for anything you want pushed in advance. So don't believe in the politicians. Love them, pray for them. But the only hope is in the house of God.
That's right.
Amen. All right, so I'm going to answer the question that I asked about the how does the leader get lifted. Here's the last thing. Don't watch the leader. Watch the battlefield. If you want to know whether or not I'm lifted the way I should be, don't look at me, because I got a stone face. I was taught never let them see you sweat. I was taught push it, take a licking and keep ticking. So you may look at me, you may never know, but look at the battlefield. If your life is always messed up and the person in the pew's life is messed up, y'all need to get my hands back lifted up. Because if the battlefield is losing, that means I'm losing. But if we're getting blessed together, that means we're going somewhere. Don't look at me. Look at the battlefield. And guess what? I believe that our battlefield is getting ready to turn all the way around. I believe we're in the precipice of something great and something big. So whatever you do, get my arms lifted up. Yeah. Well, Pastor, tell me just one thing I can do to lift up your arms. Just call my name out in prayer.
Hallelujah.
You don't even have to have the long prayer. Just say this. Say, bless Pastor Andre. Three words can change my leadership. Three words. Hallelujah. Bless Pastor Andre. Amen. That's all you got to say. And guess what? I'll find my hands being lifted. I'll sometimes wonder why in the middle of the day I lift my hands. But maybe it's because somebody been praying for me. And somebody been calling my name out. And somebody been saying, bless my pastor. And somebody been saying, help my pastor. And somebody been saying, touch my pastor. And guess what? My hands are lifted. And when my hands are lifted, the lives get touched. And when the lives get touched, the battle turns all the way around. And we're going to have the victory in Jesus' name. Stand to your feet. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Leader lifts. Let's bow our heads. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God.